Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Iowa PBS. For more than 45 years, Market to Market has provided perspective on the commodities, from farm gate to dinner plate. Find three new agribusiness podcasts each week, the M2M Podcast, Market Analysis, and Market Plus, all available wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Coronavirus infections and deaths in the world's second most populous country, India, are holding close to record highs. Hospitals in India have been running out of oxygen. Beds, morgues, and crematoria are overflowing in India. A nation with a population of over 1.3 billion, that's roughly four times the population of the United States. Thousands in our Iowa community were born in India or have family and loved ones living there. This half hour, how members of our Indian American community living in Iowa are coping. Let's first talk with Amrita Nan, Associate Professor of Finance at the University of Iowa. Amrita, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Ben.
And India is a very large country. I understand you have roots in the northern Indian state of Punjab.
Punjab, yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, how is your family there doing? How much of your family is over there?
Actually, all of my family. I'm the only one out of my immediate family members here in the U.S. My brother is in India. My parents are in India. There are many cousins from my family, standard family that are in the U.S., in the U.K., Australia. But my parents are doing fine. They're actually not living in Punjab right now. They're living in a state called Haryana, which is a bit closer to the capital, New Delhi. We've been a bit more fortunate than many people that my parents have the ability to live on a relatively more isolated farm over the last few months to try and hide from COVID. But it's been challenging. It's been particularly in the last 3 or 4 weeks as it's suddenly gone out of control after months and months of not very much happening. And that's been a shock for many people, both in the country and us living far away.
Mm-hmm. Challenging how, in what specific ways for you here in Iowa, so far away from your family?
Well, first of all, it's the worry of what's going on and how to help your parents. I think every Indian who's not in India, not physically present to help parents and family members, that's the major concern is, what can you do from so far away? I've been fortunate, I still am, that my brother actually lives in India and he's there physically present to help with any issues that might arise from months ago when COVID first started off, when it was mostly a problem in the West. We did worry about how to help our parents isolate from the virus. I couldn't be there at that time. So I'm talking, early of 2020 when India went into a very strict lockdown very early on, banned on all travel. There's no way I could have gone home to help. Fortunately, my brother was there. And there are many Indians living in the U.S. who are struggling with this particular challenge of being away, not being in the country, not being actually physically able to make the adjustments that are needed, finding supplies, arranging for people to help their parents move and isolate. So that was the initial challenge. There was also, sometimes there's a challenge of just convincing your parents that this is something that they need to take seriously, to get vaccinated on time. We were able to do that, to convince our parents to get vaccinated. So that's been a bit of a relief. And the other stress is just watching what's happening in the country remotely. It's horrifying. People not getting hospital beds, people dying in cars, Facebook posts, WhatsApp posts, people desperately trying to find somebody in India who could help find a hospital bed or an oxygen cylinder for their parents. Even though I haven't had to do that, I hope that I won't have to. Just reading the frequency, just the sheer number of people who are desperate to get help.
Yeah, it's horrifying, and I hope your family has avoided infections over there. Have they?
So far, yes, and you know, keeping our fingers crossed in that. And you know, we know many who have not been as fortunate. I don't think there's anyone left in India who doesn't know someone who's lost a loved one or has had a serious case of COVID and had to stress out about that. So we've, my family's been okay so far. But to give you an example of how suddenly this situation changed in India. There were, you know, many, many months when the cases were out of control in the US. We weren't seeing very many infections in India, and people got relaxed. I think there was this sense that, you know, we've had a wave and it's gone. Maybe people have immunity and life started to return to normal. And we were actually planning a visit to India in June. And so one day on instant messaging, we're talking about what we're going to do when we visit India. And 2 days later, my brother's desperately texting me to ask if I could, just in case the need arises, find and ship an oxygen concentrator to India. That's a remarkable change in the situation on the ground back home.
Right. And with the population of India, first of all, I'm looking up the vaccination rate in India. Unlike
very small.
The very small. In the U.S., we have over 30% of our population with both doses, I think. And we're heading upwards. Of course, by President Biden aiming for 70% of the population by July 4th. Right now, according to government data that I looked up today, only 2.5% fully vaccinated in India. So what I'm gathering from you, and also because of the density of the population, your family is very fortunate in not to be in some of the densely populated areas, I'm thinking.
Yes. That's right. They're fortunate in that sense. I would also say when the vaccines first became available, there was supply, but there was also vaccine hesitancy. I have talked to relatives, friends who knew that vaccines were available, but just weren't sure they wanted to get the shot. And that's primarily because the Indian version, I think there are two vaccines available in India, or supposed to be available in India. One is AstraZeneca and the other one is an Indian vaccine that I forget the name of, which was rushed through the approval process. And perhaps the transparency, the disclosure, the messaging about the vaccine wasn't done well enough, that I know of many people who could have had the shot before the cases went out of control, but opted to not do it because there just weren't that many people getting sick. And now that the pandemic is in such a dangerous phase, there are people who want to get vaccinated, and now there's just not enough supply.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting hints in your comments, Amrita, that India's national conversation and the controversy over vaccination, perhaps over masking, social distancing, is perhaps in some ways like ours in the U.S. How have you compared those two national conversations? Are they alike?
They're not that much alike, at least as far as masking is concerned. I think it was a lot more politicized here than it ever was in India. I think the challenge in India was that initially the government did too much too quickly. It's always easy to criticize with hindsight. There was a huge concern, which every one of us felt, that with a relatively poor, a densely populated country that is a democracy and cannot take some of the measures that China could, for example, in terms of the draconian lockdowns. India can't do that just as easily because people then come out and vote you out of power. Mm-hmm. So there was a concern that maybe a lot needs to be done quickly, and they did perhaps. Maybe the lockdown was too strict, and there was a lot of economic pain after that. And I think the government just didn't push through as far as masking is concerned in insisting on the precautions long enough. So it's not so much that there was a political disagreement on whether people should be wearing masks or not. It's just that there was not enough messaging. I think if the political leadership had stayed aware of the risk that the second wave would come across eventually, that they might have been able to encourage people to keep wearing masks. But life just went back to normal. There were political rallies, there were festivals where millions would, you know, gather together in cities, and then travel back home and, you know, took the virus back with them. It's not so much political disagreement. I think it was just they thought they'd gotten over it, that they'd beat the virus already, and they hadn't.
Amrit Anand, thank you so much for joining us. A resident of Iowa City, American citizen, with all of her extended family in India right now. Amrit, thank you for sharing your view, and we, of course, wish your family in India all the best, continued good health over there. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for your time. It was nice talking to you again.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Indian Americans living in Iowa this half hour talking about coping and in some cases grieving from afar as they witness the COVID-19 pandemic ravaging their native country. Joining me now, Sanjay Jani is an Iowa City resident and architect. He's lived in the U.S. for over 30 years. Sanjay, welcome to the program.
Hey, hi, Ben.
And let me just, I have in my notes here, you have family roots in Mumbai. Tell us what family members in India concern you most at this time.
Well, I think most of my family is in India. Most of my old friends are in India. I think the people I worry about the most is my mom, who is 81, practicing doctor, and my wife's parents, who are in their late 70s and 80s. And from what you have heard and I hear, the younger people seems to be doing fine, but my parents and my wife's parents, they seem to be really worried about what's going on. So that's my first concern, for parents of that age.
Right. And has sickness touched your family over there or the people they know? Extended family?
No, my parents are good. Our parents are doing really good. They've been safe. My mom has been practicing even after many warnings by me to stop it. She's a doctor. She's still practicing, and I'm surprised she didn't catch it. But my wife's brother and the whole family got it. So that's sort of immediate. A family I know who got COVID. A lot of my friends have it. In last 2 months, I've heard so many people who has it that you can sort of personalize and tell things are going on over there and it's getting worse.
Right. And your mother is 81, you say. She's a practicing physician. That's amazing. Wow. And you're encouraging her to be safer rather than go into a clinic or hospital to work.
Yeah, well, my mom runs a family practice, so she works, or she did work 4 hours in the morning, 9 to 1, and then she will come for lunch and a nap, and then she'll go to work again at 6, and it will be 6 to 10. Mm. I kept on telling her, and I know my mom better, so I knew it. If I tell her to stop, she will work for 4 hours. So, and that's what happened. She decided to stop her morning practice, and she goes to the clinic in the evening. But she has done well with the amount of exposure she has. She has done tremendously well.
Sanjay, what have been the challenges for you and perhaps your family as well here in Iowa? Viewing this from afar, of course, there's a travel ban in place to India right now. What have you been most concerned with here? I suppose helplessness is a problem, right? You can't do anything.
It is, and it's a strange. I mean, my mom usually comes here right when the kids' school ends, so June, you know, first week she's usually here. But this year, I had her ticket actually this weekend, the last weekend she was supposed to arrive. And that got canceled. And then I booked it for the next week, which is 14th. And that also got canceled. It is kind of frustrating. On one hand, I feel like she should come here and she'll be safer. She'll be able to take her walks. But on the other hand, I think she's safer over there instead of exposing her to 1,000 people on her travel. So that's a personal frustration I have. She was supposed to be here last week. And now I don't know when she'll come.
Yeah, so much uncertainty out there still. But before we end this conversation, Sanjay, what is your sense of how the national conversation in India about the pandemic and all the controversy surrounding, you know, any number of things is like or unlike that here in the U.S.?
There are similarities. I think a lot of things are happening there politically and culturally. A lot of big rallies with politicians, which shouldn't have happened. A lot of religious festivities, which could have waited for the next time, which they didn't do it, you know, at the right time. Cricket matches going on, and everybody is a big fan over there. At this point, you don't need 150,000 people, you know, at the game. But and everything is stopped now, but it's a little later than it should have been. But I think people are a little scared now, especially my friends who are business people, and they were going to their business every day, and they knew they were taking risks. And so far, they just said, oh, you'll get sick for a day or two and you'll be fine. But it's been different, and now they're a little scared. And in many ways, I think being a little scared is the right thing for them right now. That way, they will be more cautious about not doing parties and wearing their masks and having the social distance. But I think, you know, it's been going on for so long. I feel frustration in their voice, friends and family. We all like to see other people. And it's been so long that when they thought things are getting better, they got loose and, you know, they were doing things which they shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But live and learn. And hopefully, you know, people are cautious and it would change the graph.
Yeah, we sure hope for all of us around the globe, in India, in the U.S. and everywhere else, this draws to a close sooner. And take your advice. I think that's good advice. A little bit of fear is a good thing to keep us on a good course, a safe course for our behavior, whether it's in the U.S. or in India. Sanjay Jani of Iowa City, thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, if you've been listening this half hour, talking with Americans who have family in India who call Iowa home about the dreadful surge in COVID sickness and death in their native country of India. Let's talk with Aparna Ingleshwar. Aparna is a University of Iowa PhD candidate in oral science, originally from Bangalore, India. She's lived in the U.S. since 2011. Aparna, welcome to the program.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me.
Full disclosure, our producer, Matt Alvarez, and Aparna are partners. So Aparna, tell us what's most concerning to you regarding family members you have in India right now?
I think it's right now, it's just, of course, the worry and the fear that they could at any time fall terribly sick. And because of the ongoing shortage of beds in hospitals, oxygen, medicines, and things of that nature, it would be really hard if they do need any of those supplies to actually be able to get them. So right now, that's the biggest concern. And also not to mention the people are finding it harder to get vaccines or they're registered, but the availability of vaccines also is low. So at this moment, I think I'm just very concerned about the fact that if they do fall sick severely, what's going to happen?
Yes, vaccines in India, only 2.5% of the population, according to the data that I found, 2.5% of the population in India vaccinated up to this point, much lower than the U.S. How are your family members well? Are they keeping out of the way of the virus? Have any been infected?
Yes, for now they're doing okay. The state that they live in has a curfew going on, so they haven't been absolutely going out or anything. They are doing well. My sister was taken ill recently. They weren't entirely sure if it was COVID or not because just getting tested in India, the COVID test is not accurately detecting the double mutant variant. So she was in isolation and she was being monitored and things like that. But for now they're doing okay and she's recovering. In fact, this morning she just said that she was able to get a vaccine appointment for my mother for her second dose. So we were all thankful about that.
Well, yeah, that is very good to hear, Aparna. And of course, India had this very strict lockdown early on in the pandemic. And then what is your view of what happened after that? People thought that was it, right? And loosened up too quickly?
Yes, I do think that they became complacent. I do think that the government should have handled this better. I feel like they should have built better infrastructure for the healthcare system. Even the healthcare providers, the doctors, the nurses, everyone within the hospitals are barely able to keep up with what's going on. And in general, the government didn't do a great job preparing for the second wave.
And especially tough for you, I'm sure, of course, tough for those experiencing that in your native country. But for you being so far away, share a little bit of what it's been like for you so far from your native land, from many of your family members at this time of crisis in your native land. How are you coping?
It's been really hard because every time I open social media, all I see is our pleas for or SOS messages for medicines, for oxygen, for beds, people asking those who've recovered from COVID to donate plasma. So every single day, that's all I'm seeing on my social media. And of course, hearing about people's relatives, families, people I know, friends of friends that have taken severely ill, people that have passed away. And this is even younger men and women that have passed away. And so it's just scary and I feel helpless. I really cannot do anything. And also knowing that back home, my family's worried and they feel hopeless too.
Yeah. Well, our heart goes out to you and your family, and we're all dealing with this pandemic to one degree or another. We hope that your homeland is in a much better situation in the weeks to come, and that your relatives there, your family there, stay safe. Aparna Ingleshwar, thank you very much for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Ben.
And that does it for today. River to River Today, produced by Matt Alvarez. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Iowa PBS. For more than 45 years, Market to Market has provided perspective on the commodities, from farm gate to dinner plate. Find 3 new agribusiness podcasts each week, the M2M Podcast, Market Analysis, and Market Plus, all available wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts.